There's a note here in a Schofield note, which I think which speaks on that same point. It was proved very helpful for me. I'll just read a short portion of it. It says, "The description of the furnishings of the tabernacle begins with the ark, which, as already stated, was placed in the most holy place. Because in Revelation, God begins from himself, working outward toward man. As in his approach, the worshiper begins from himself, moving toward God in the most holy place." So from our perspective, there's the entrance to the Holy of Holies is our progression, starting first at salvation. And then from God's perspective, he moves from himself towards man.
Just to add along our thoughts, the animal would be sacrificed, and then the blood of that animal would be drained, right? And then as the blood of that animal would be drained into the basins and then poured onto the base of the altar, it reminds us of what Scripture says in the book of Hebrews. And I just want to read those verses for us, along with what we've been saying. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh.
What chapter?
Sorry, chapter 9, verse 14 now. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? So just to show us that, and what's beautiful in studying the book of Hebrews, if you want to get a good handle on the book of Hebrews, get a good handle on the tabernacle. And if you've got a good handle on the tabernacle, you can appreciate Hebrews. And the thing, because Hebrews talks about the tabernacle, not the temple. And Hebrews talks about, actually, Hebrews shows us that this tabernacle that we're looking at is really a picture of what's in heaven, of the sanctuary in heaven, and what where God wants us to appreciate where our worship really takes place. So that's just kind of by the side, but anyway, just to go along with what we said.
Just one more thing to pick up. We're going to move on in a couple of minutes to the altar of incense. But just to pick up one more detail in Exodus 27. And it's about this grate or network, as your translation may have it. In verse 4, Exodus 27, verse 4, we're told about this network of bronze or copper. And it says, now, there are different pictures of this, and I'm actually not sure why there's confusion about it, because it seems pretty obvious to me. In verse 5, it says that it would be under the rim, but it says that the network would be midway up the altar, that it would be halfway to its height. There are pictures that show this grate right at the top of the altar, but I'm not really sure why that is. It seems evident that this network, this grate, was halfway down inside the bronze altar. And so you would have the fire below, you would have the animal resting on the grate, and you would have the fire burning there where the animal and the grate were, inside the altar. So you would put the animal kind of inside the altar. It might not really have been visible to the offerer once it was inside the sacrificial place. So believing that to be the case, what would we say about that? You put the animal, the sacrificial animal, inside the altar of burnt offering where the other sacrifices were, and you don't see it when it's being burned. What would you think about that?
You know, I think of what we often comment on Lord's Day. is we look at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and in some way we think about what man did to him, and that was visible. Mm-hmm. But really, when it comes to this matter of justification and what is necessary to satisfy the heart of God, to satisfy the justice of God, rather, his holiness, it says the sun refused to shine. Mm. God closed down the sun, as it were, at noonday, the brightest time that it's shining. And in that darkness, that's the only time we hear the Lord Jesus Christ cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So when I think of the fact that the sacrifice was sort of depressed into this vessel that was not seen, it's the private reality or the hidden reality of what the sacrifice meant before God, what it meant for Christ to be made sin for us. And I was thinking about that verse in 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the link between God's justice and being able to see how God is able to justify. And so as that sacrifice was pressed into the vessel of the brazen altar, hidden from view, and yet the offerer had to be confident and persuaded that this would meet God's righteous demands. And so likewise for us, we put faith in what Christ suffered because it satisfies the heart of God.